Con Lessard. Council General Lessard has traveled here today to promote and strengthen the economic, cultural, and educational relations between our great state of Wyoming and our great neighbor Canada. So please help me in welcoming Council General Lessard.
Mr. Speaker, what an honor. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, representatives, for this great opportunity to address you. I'm very grateful that you would allow a native French speaker from Montreal to come to this beautiful hall here, this beautiful room, and to give you perhaps some remarks and some perspectives from a Canadian perspective on the great friendship that we have. And I'm telling you where I come from so that you're not mistaken. If you hear a different accent, you might recognize a different accent. So it's truly an honor to be able to address you today. I've been in my position for about 6 months, and this is my third time here in Wyoming, the third of many more to come. It's truly a beautiful state. So thank you so much for your kind welcome. I'm honored to be able to address you, and the timing really couldn't be better. I had the pleasure of meeting senators this morning and addressing the Senate, and I was saying that 2017 is a special year for Canada. It's the 150th anniversary of our Confederation. So the modern form of Canada that you know dates back to 1867, when the different regions came together to create our federation with the federal government, the provincial system, and so on. So we're celebrating that as Canadians this year. We're proud of our country, but it's also an opportunity really to take a step back and look at the friendships that we've built in different parts of the world. And I can tell you with all the confidence possible that there is no greater friendship between any two countries anywhere on this planet than between our countries, between Canada and the U.S. No greater friendship at all levels than between our countries. Thank you very much. I mean, Canada is really proud to count the United States as its number one friend, partner, and ally. We're friends because our families and our ancestors built this continent together. We're partners in economic terms. We're partners in science. We're partners in culture, and we're allies. I don't need to mention the strong cooperation, the military collaboration. Of course, I'm based in Denver. It's very close to Colorado Springs and NORAD, which is probably the most tangible example of that integrated approach to the defense of our continent. But also, we're partners. Our armed forces are working together in NATO. They're working together in the Middle East. We serve together. We often lose, unfortunately, members of our armed forces in similar places, and that makes us more than just strategic allies. It makes us truly brothers and sisters as we look at the relationship we built, and we're extremely proud of that. So I thought I would give you a little perspective on some shared interests that we have. We have so many, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps trade is on the minds of many. I know it's the case in Canada these days. So I thought I would mention that, we can also be proud of what we've done together in trade between our two countries. We've enjoyed the benefits of open trade for a long time. And under NAFTA, our two economies have merged in a way to create perhaps what is the most integrated economy and the integrated market anywhere in the world. It's not just that the border is long and undefended. We've not only grown under NAFTA to sell more to each other, but what really is striking, especially to me being new in this position, is how we've come to make things together so we can sell them not just to each other, but to the rest of the world. And through NAFTA, our supply chains, meaning it's not governments dictating this, it's our industries. Our business leaders have found a way to procure and create supply chains, you know, within each other's country in a way that makes them the most competitive so they can outcompete the rest of the world. So I think that's a very striking development and one that really makes us, in a way, an integrated North American powerhouse in producing and selling things to the rest of the world. And I want to be clear, if I may, trade between our countries is mutually beneficial, and it's fair and it's balanced. And why do I say that? By the way, trade in 2015 between our countries was in the order of $700 billion, so not insignificant, I'm sure you will agree. And it is balanced and fair. And I say balanced because, you know, contrary to maybe some situations where your country will import way more than you sell and it leads to trade deficit, if you look at the combined trade between our countries in goods and services, and you factor in investment, really, we buy and sell to each other about the same value. So I would say that if you factor it all in, trade is balanced. It's also fair, I would argue, because it operates under the strict rules of NAFTA, which, of course, is supported by national legislation. And when issues come up, and they do, you can't have this level of trade, you know, and this level of engagement between our economies and our businesses without having some issues pop up from time to time, whether it's softwood lumber, whether it's something else. It's normal. You can expect that. But issues come up, we address them because, you know, that's what partners do. That's what friends do. We address them. We resolve them. We have frank discussions. We work it out. So not only do we have a strong relationship as countries, the entire countries, but we also have a strong relationship, we Canada, with all the 50 states. And Wyoming is, of course, no exception to that. We are your largest trading partner. We're your second, I'd like to be first, frankly, but we are your second export destination behind Brazil, I believe. We're working hard to change that. And in terms of two-way trade, in 2015, again, the value of our two-way trade was about $1 billion. In sectors that are like, you know, particular sectors like energy, chemicals, agriculture, and travel. Speaking of travel, Canadians love to visit your great state, and in 2015, we had about 156,000 plus Canadians coming to visit the state and discover the beauty that you find everywhere in this beautiful state. So what does this all mean in all this trade and all this tourism? Well, it means jobs. Of course, you know, in Canada, trade is beneficial in our communities, but it's true in Wyoming. We estimate that all this trade that I've talked about supports, this trade and investment supports upwards of 13,000 jobs in Wyoming. And that is supporting jobs, it's supporting communities. Our investment injects capital in the economy, and we're happy to be your economic partner. So my office, ladies and gentlemen, or representatives, my office is always very open to looking for new ways to take what's already a great relationship and take that even further, working with elected officials such as yourselves, your business associations, your CEOs, your companies, looking for ways to create a more competitive and a more productive economic environment, which is why, I have to say, Canada strongly supports NAFTA and looking to build on what we have established together, this very powerful powerhouse of production and that produces goods and services that are competitive around the world. Of course, we agree that after 20-plus years of an agreement, it's normal. You look at it, and where it needs to be modernized, why not? And our Prime Minister has been clear. We certainly are open to that. I have to say we have our own ideas also for how NAFTA can be modernized. It's fair. We know that the new administration in Washington is interested in starting talks soon. We are ready for those talks. But I'd like to argue that We should not do away with all the benefits that we've built together, and that we should build on that to take it to the next step for the next several decades. We also, Canada is opposed to protectionist measures that may include Buy America provisions or country of origin labeling or COOL, and these measures can make it more difficult for our businesses to do business together, our companies to do business together. We understand that on the surface, measures like that can seem attractive. How can you argue with making things in America to sell, to produce highways and bridges in America? It's hard to argue against that unless you realize that many of these measures can have and do have unintended negative consequences. You know, I was in Washington recently with our honorary consul in Salt Lake City, and he's a U.S. businessman, a very successful businessman in the trucking business and the infrastructure equipment business. And he was saying it, not me, that, you know, if Buy America provisions are affected in his state or federally, it makes his business less competitive. It's more complicated to procure at competitive prices the parts he needs in his supply chain, will increase his costs and make him less competitive. And it's not just him. Earlier this week, we had the CEO of the American Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Tom Donahue, speaking to our ministers and arguing strongly in favor of open trade between our countries under NAFTA and the disadvantages associated with protectionist measures. So the reality is that trade is good for both our countries. But it's good for our industries. It's also good for our populations. Trade-related jobs pay, on average, a salary that's 50% higher than jobs or in sectors not related to trade. So it's good for our people. And certainly, again, want to give a strong message of friendship, of dedicated friendship. We will be there always to be your economic partner as the state looks perhaps at ways of diversifying your economy. We know those challenges because we face them as well. So perhaps we can compare notes and exchange expertise and be partners in advancing our economies further. And I'd like to believe that with our incredible natural resources, with the ingenuity of our young people, with the expertise of our universities and associations, and with the leadership in this room, I'm very confident that the future is incredibly bright. We are always going to be there with you, and I thank you very much for your kind welcome today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
So, Council General Lessard, we very much appreciate your visit with the Wyoming House of Representatives today, and we appreciate your words and frankly, your work to continue this strong relationship between our state and your country and our great country as well. So, again, we really appreciate and wish you safe travels as you travel our beautiful state. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good job. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Members, it's my great pleasure to welcome a fellow member of the 57th Legislature and the current Wyoming Senator John Brasso back to the Wyoming Legislature. And as you know, he served from 2003 until 2007 before being sworn in to the United States Senate. He's currently serving on the Senate's Energy and Natural Resource Committee, the Foreign Relations Committee, the Indian Affairs Committee, and as chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee. He is also the chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee and chairman emeritus of the Senate Western Caucus. Please join me in welcoming home our United States Senator John Brasso.
Okay, hey, thanks, Don. Well, it is wonderful to be back here with each and every one of you. This is something I look forward to every year, coming back and being at the legislature. You know, when I was in the legislature, Al Simpson would come back and he'd say, you know, some of my finest times ever in politics was, he would say, in the Wyoming legislature. And I feel the same way. I know Mike Enzi feels the same way. We love coming back. I know he'll be back next week. And we come back to just thank you for what you do. It is, as you know, a labor of love. As Mike says, if you think of it as a job, you work much too hard. But if you think of it as a great adventure, it's a great adventure. You learn a lot about your state. You learn a lot about yourself. And you can do some really good things for the people of Wyoming. Sometimes you don't know about it right away. Sometimes it takes a while to happen. But I picked up the Wyoming Tribune Eagle today. And if you turn to page 3, there's an article here about a piece of legislation that we passed in 2005. And John Hastert, who was new in the legislature from Sweetwater County, came to me to see if we would co-sponsor this. I mean, it's just coincidental that here it is today, and it says Wyoming Medication Donation Program, which was to use the people that were throwing away medicines. This hadn't been opened. That you could donate it back to the state. We now have, say, locations set up all around the state. It says Wyoming Medication Donation Program honored by Harvard. By Harvard. The state of Texas is adopting what we did here in the Wyoming legislature 12 years ago. It says the program passed in 2005. Donations of in-date unused medication in sealed packages. Since 2008, more than 88,000 pounds of donations have been processed. Currently 28 collection sites around the state. The programs provided over $12 million worth of medications to Wyoming residents who could not afford their medication. So there are things that you can do. Now, Stan Blake, you tell Hastert I came here and talked about the work he did when he was a member of the House, because you never know how what you do is going to pay and how it's going to impact not just people of Wyoming, but now around the state and around the country. So I love coming back to visit with the legislature. You know, this is a thing, and Jerry, we had talked about this at the orientation in the beginning, that this is a place that can test you physically, mentally, emotionally. I just talked to one of the freshman legislators, and how you doing? He said, well, my wife is as tired as I am, because it's a family commitment to do this. None of us can do it alone. So it's a willingness to serve, but it's a willingness of our families to allow us to serve. So I just wanted to be here to tell you that we're never going to give you recommendations, but we are going to give you encouragement. The whole delegation, we're working closely together, Mike and Liz and I. You know, we miss Cynthia. We loved working with her. Liz has hit the ground running. She's doing a great job. We're meeting regularly together, 100% committed to Wyoming. Mike is the chairman of the Budget Committee. Now, you know, he's a CPA. He's been in the Wyoming legislature. He knows that every year we balance our budget in the Wyoming legislature. There is no better person to be chairman of the Budget Committee of the United States Senate than Mike Enzi. And I'm now chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee, as the speaker has just said. You know, the regulations that have come out of the last administration for 8 years have been punishing to our state, to the hardworking people of the state, and that is fundamentally going to change. President Trump is nominated to be the head of the Environment and Public, the EPA, a guy named Scott Pruitt. He's Attorney General of Oklahoma, and over the years he has stood with the state of Wyoming as the state of Wyoming and the state of Oklahoma have sued the federal government on rules and regulations that we know weren't legal, and we know we're harmful to our economy. And he is a guy that's protected the environment in Oklahoma, just as we have protected the environment here in Wyoming, and at the same time worked for a strong and healthy economy and defended, protected, and stood up for state rights. So he is the right person to be the head of the EPA. I believe we're going to get him confirmed on Wednesday. He's terrific. There have been a lot of slowdowns in the process. You might have seen that by looking at television, that the dragging on and the obstruction that's been happening, where folks on the other side of the aisle have been boycotting committees. We're continuing to march through this. By this time in an administration, whether it was George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, they've all had their cabinet in place. We still have not been able to get through, due to the delaying tactics, Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Interior, Energy, the EPA, Commerce, Veterans Affairs, things that are crucial, so we're going to continue to plow through and make sure all of them get confirmed. Just to let you know that Wyoming is not just well represented on the Budget Committee. Many of you know I was former chairman of the Transportation Committee in Wyoming. And now as the head of the EPA, we had our first overall hearing on an issue of the Environment and Public Works Committee. And the first witness that I called, because President Trump has talked about a big infrastructure project, the first witness I called was Bill Panos, the head of YDOT. And he testified Wednesday, did an incredibly good job talking about when they come up with one funding mechanism out of Washington, where they want to say, well, let's put toll roads out there and do public-private partnerships, which work in big cities. They don't really work here, where we have low populations and large distances. And that was Bill's message, and he testified on behalf of a lot of western states. And we have a great committee because the people on this committee with me are from Nebraska. Deb Fisher was the chair of the Transportation Committee in Nebraska. She knows the same issues. The former governor of South Dakota, Mike Rounds, is on the committee. The Senator Dan Sullivan, who is attorney general in Alaska, is on the committee. So we're going to stand to make sure that rural America is heard and protected and that we get what we need in terms of the infrastructure needs. It's not just about big cities and massive projects. It's about rural America and making sure we have the infrastructure right here, because we know that so much of what happens to the roads aren't from the people of Wyoming. It's from moving commerce and people from the coast and across from California to Chicago and beyond. So we're going to continue to fight for that. And Bill did a terrific job. The last thing I want to mention is President Trump has nominated for the Supreme Court Neil Gorsuch. Neil's mom was born in Casper. Neil's great-grandfather, last name Wolf, built the Wolf Hotel in Saratoga, Wyoming. This is a guy who knows Wyoming. When the short list came out, I got calls from judges from around the state of Wyoming who said, if you have any influence, try to make sure it's Neil Gorsuch. He's a guy right in the mold of Justice Scalia. He realizes that the Constitution is a legal document, not a living document. It's built for rigidity, not flexibility. He is a judge who has continued to apply the law, not write the law. We are going to make sure he is confirmed to the Supreme Court of the United States, and he will take his seat this year. So I just wanted to thank you all and tell you how much I appreciated, admire, and respect this institution, the Wyoming Legislature, nothing like it. And just wanted to thank each and every one of you for your continued friendship, your leadership, and your advocacy for the people of Wyoming. So God bless you. God bless Wyoming. God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much.
Senator Barrasso, once again, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, and we know you're working for Wyoming, and we know you have Wyoming's back. We certainly have your back, and we want to continue to work together with 67% of our minerals federally owned, half of our land federally owned. This partnership is so important, and there's nobody better than you, I think, to represent us there. And so we appreciate your hard work, and appreciate your representation in the great state of Wyoming. So thank you. Okay, members, we're back on that order of business of third reading on House Bill 1. We're on Amendment number 46, and that would be Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I move third reading Amendment number 46 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a great discussion on Wednesday over at what point in mileage we should trade in state vehicles. I know there was a number of people who felt 130 was the best number out of all of that. So that's what this does. It says we voted for 150, we'll drop it back to 130, and that's all it does. With that, that's my first time. If there's no one else, Mr. Speaker. Question.
Anyone else for their first time? Seeing none, we are voting on third reading amendment number 46. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
I'll make a call and you can. Third reading amendment number 46 has passed. Division being called. All those in favor say aye. Excuse me. All those in favor, stand up and do not say aye. Oh, that's good. Okay, all those opposed, please stand. Twenty-six stood in favor of the amendment, 33 are opposed to the amendment. Third reading amendment number 46 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 4. Chairman's wanted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. Would ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this is a similar amendment to what we saw in second reading regarding the Youth Challenge Program. And so after it failed by a couple of votes, I went back to the program and said, you know, give me a number that we can sustain and still have four classes. We had some conversation on if it was going to be three or two. With the current cut, it's going to go from four to two. And so you're going to have kids on the waiting list for 4, 5, 6 months waiting for the next class to start. So I went back, and they gave me a number. If they cut everything appropriately, they could cut $88,000 in state funds. And I'm not sure the debate was correct on the first or the second reading. It's a 3-to-1 match. So for every dollar we give, we get $3 from the federal government to match our $1. It's 25% to 75% match. So, and that's some of the reason we talked about kids from other states coming to our program. We have a couple of extra seats or some more room in a class. It's really because the federal government gives us 3/4 of the funds for this program, and we thought if we have some room, we always do Wyoming kids first, but if there are some extra spots in a class, that's why we do it. So then I went back and I said, you know, how much does this really cost the state? And I think I was, you know, I've been with the program for 9 years on the foundation board, and I was surprised to find out it actually helps us. It is cost effective as a state. So we have an ADM for youth in Wyoming. It's 17,000, give or take where you are, but that's raised roughly the average, 17,000 per kid. This program costs 8,500 per kid. And so if we agree that the money under our Constitution should be with the kid and not with the educational system, each one of these kids should be getting $17,000 in a school. But if they drop out, it costs $8,500 for this program. I mean, and we have, I don't know, at least 10 school districts who are in a program where they'll send kids who are struggling to the Youth Challenge program for their 6 months, and they'll go back into the high schools. And those districts take a hit. They don't get their ADM. The program gets the 8,500. But I would submit to you that it's half as cheap for the school foundation to educate these kids in the program. And then they either get their 38% go back into the school system. Of that, another 40% get their high school equivalency. So you're getting 75% of these kids have some form of educational attainment. Either they go back and get their diplomas or they get their high school equivalency. The rest, you know, we talked about some numbers on first reading second reading, about 5%. You know, they don't make it, right? These are kids who had difficult lives, who went to the program. For whatever reason, they didn't make it all the way through. But the vast majority, 90%, do. In some way, shape, or form, their lives are better for having attended this program. And when you look at all the money we throw at education, to do half of that per the kid for a six-month program that can, I mean, it gets them away. Sometimes it's the educational system they don't operate well in. And some places there are alternative schools for these kids to go to, and we have a bill going through that we won't have any more alternative schools. So if you don't give them that outlet, you're not giving them really anywhere to go. So with this program, it keeps the money in the kid. It keeps, you know, a better, brighter Wyoming because you're, you know, getting these kids hopefully back on track out of the correction system, out of, in some cases, what would be the schools in Worland or Sheridan that they would go to. And so when I found that it actually saves us money, if you consider the money should stay with the kid, right, it's a great program. So I would ask for you to reconsider this amendment. Increases it by $400,000, not the original $500,000. So I'd submit to you that's still, a $400,000 hit because it's a 3-to-1 match. They're still going to have to lose at least maybe one or two staff members, but not all four under the original bill or under the original amendment. So I'd be happy to stand for any questions. I think you've heard the why this program is worthwhile and needed and helps people. And with everything else we're doing and kind of waiting to see what the grand plan is with education, at least for the next year, if we could keep some kids in this program to improve their lives, I think we'd all be better for it in the state.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against this amendment, this is the first of a couple of amendments that will try to bring all of these dollars back. And once again, if you look at that $400,000 in S5, that school foundation dollars, and we worked really hard to trim back agencies that had school foundation dollars. We didn't cut the entire program. There are 25% of these kids that come from out of state. As far as I heard, they didn't fill the seats, you know, and they had to actively recruit to get people in these seats. And so, once again, I think this is a modest cut to take in a time of reduced ability to pay for education in the state of Wyoming, and I would urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would urge you to resist this amendment. I think it is accurate that it's a 3-to-1 match if we only have two classes, but when we move it up to 3 and 4 classes, it becomes a 50-50 match, is my understanding, on the dollar value from the federal side to the state side. And so we have been operating at 4 classes for the last several years. So it has been, at that time, my understanding, it is a 50-50 match instead of a 3-to-1 match, as was described earlier. The $500,000 cut that was made in this program should still allow for 3 classes to occur each year. And truly, it optimizes this entire program because there was struggles to recruit, and not all of the classes were going completely filled. And so this gets these kids in there, and it doesn't leave open slots, and it just truly optimizes the program, in my opinion. I would also say I don't know that it necessarily saves the state any money, and the reason I don't think so is because if we're talking about a population of young people that are not in the system collecting dollars from an ADM perspective at all because they have left the system. So those dollars have reverted back to the state entirely. So when we spend $8,500 or $89 or whatever that dollar value is, it's money that is now being spent once again. So I don't know that it's necessarily a savings. It's great to see them back in the system, but I don't know that I would call it a savings. And then I would just point out that there have been significant struggles to recruit enough students to fill all of these classes. And so for a myriad of reasons, I would just ask that you resist this amendment and understand that we have worked to make sure this program would move forward, but move forward in the most optimized way.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a real joy for me as an advocate for this amendment to be the person with the second to the last name. On the list in front of you, we have Zwanitzer and then Winters here. And both of us are pushing for this because we've talked extensively with this particular agency. Let me settle something, because this was a continual conversation in the previous back-and-forth exchange a couple days ago. They cannot do three classes. They cannot do three classes. We went and talked to them at length. Because of the rotation cycle at their facility, they cannot do three classes. They can do four or they can do two. I want to settle that once and for all, because continually in my questioning them on this issue, they said, I'm sorry, we cannot do three classes because we would have a duplication in our staffing. You might as well do four or two. So what they were saying was, we could figure out how to cut roughly another 100,000. But the 400,000 here is one that can get us to where we can do the two additional classes. And as far as filling that need with other kids from other states, they've done that in the past, but slowly but surely the margin has been shrinking more and more and more. These are more Wyoming kids every year that are coming into this. And as far as the question of that these are kids that have left the system, well, my question about that is, if these kids are falling through the cracks, which is the impression I would get from that statement, this is a tremendous program. That, to me, actually, is an advocation for this program. And this is a significant issue for those kids who are participating, and I would love to see this money restored. When you look at it coming out of the school foundation grant, that is where it belongs. You know, when it comes to cutting, we are left with some very tough choices. But you don't cut the places that are working. And I would say that this is one of those places where it is working and it is an appropriate expenditure. Thank you.
Representative Salazar. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, members of the 64th, you can remember there was a commercial back, and it was about an oil filter, and it had a saying that said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. I think we're at that stage. I think that this group of students that we're talking about is that pay me now or pay me later group. Some of those students will end up in that particular facility without this program, and we'll be paying for them for a long time, maybe 10, 20 years. So think about that as you vote. What do you want to pay for? What are you looking at? Do we want an overcrowded facility that's in Ralston, or not Ralston, in Rollins? Or do you want to have a facility that we put an extra $400,000 into to help them out now and get them straightened out on and for the amendment?
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm trying to figure out what I can add to what's been said. I'll say that it's still a fairly young program, and it's unknown to most of the districts in the state. As it's advertised, we get more and more Wyoming kids into it. Most of them get a GED or go back home and finish their high school education, so they really don't fall out of the system because of this. And again, they can't do three classes. They have a junior class and a senior class, and those go for 6 months, and then so there's two six-month deals, and a third class doesn't fit into their program at all.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I, as a conservative Republican, I don't speak up very often to reinstate funding. That this is truly important. These are at-risk Wyoming citizens, and we have an opportunity to help them. You know, we hear about kids going wrong and they need some straight talk. We've got the National Guard. Their success rate is high. And this is a good program, and it needs to be funded. And I highly encourage the honorable members of this body to consider that. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this amendment, I'd like to address two of the issues that have been talked about. One is taking money out of S5, and the other is about the filling of seats with out-of-state students. So just to go back to the good chairman of corporations' opening comments, the reality is that this saves us money. It costs $17,000 to send a kid to school a year. This program costs $8,500. The only way that we would be saving money is if these kids dropped out. That's the only way we'd be saving money. And I would like to put forth that having kids drop out of high school does not help us now and does not help us down the road. So taking this money out of S5 really, really does help us. The other question or issue that came up was regarding kind of the filling of seats and a couple of empty seats. And I sat on your committee number 2, and we talked a lot about this program. And the reality is, in my mind, it's like filling the seats on a plane, right? It makes sense to fill the seats on a plane if you're an airline company. Your economies of scale pay off. For us, those economies of scale are with getting federal funds. We still have the fixed cost with the number of teachers, whether or not there are 18 or 20 kids in a class. We still have the cost of the classroom, right? We fill in those extra 2 seats, we get 3 times the amount of money from the feds that go for the entire program. So I'm in favor of this. It is economically sound, and it helps kids.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I just want to clarify what happened in committee and then what's happening here, because it's 2 entirely different things. During the committee, we basically, after having the folks from the military department there, said, okay, if we cut 500,000, can you do 3 classes? And the answer was yes, they can do it. Now we come to the floor, and there's a handout that says they have to go down to 2. Well, that, honestly, that's new information to us. And it wasn't what was testified to or what we directed them to do. Now let's talk about how much it costs per student. Right now it costs $2.5 million for these students. That's 86 students, so roughly 180 students. So roughly that comes out to be about $15,000 per student. And yet the handout says $8,500 per student. And so the numbers aren't making sense to me right now. And if you think about it from the committee standpoint, to cut $2.5 million to cut $500,000 out of it and then only go down to 2 classes, that would mean the cost of 2 classes, raise the class per student, it would almost double it. And that's the last thing that we had in mind. But the way it's now been presented to you is that's in fact what we were doing. Honestly, that's not what we were doing. And if the numbers you have in front of you are true, then I think the committee would be agreeable to put this 500 back in. If we're getting, basically, we're increasing the dollar amounts only 500,000, and yet we get another 96 students in there for only $400,000. So that's the problem with it. And the other idea is they don't just fill empty seats. The testimony was that because they have federal funding, which is between 75% and 50%, depending on their class occupancy, they reach out and get people, and any folks that want to come, they want to bring them in, because their testimony was, we want to do this because we're using federal dollars, so we have to bring in other people. They've got people from the East Coast, and they have people from the West Coast that attend this. And so, I mean, there's some misinformation going out there, but as presented, if everything's accurate in the handout, then it's probably a good thing to put this back in. But it's not the information we were working with, and so that's why the conflict, probably in a little bit of a stick in the throat with this thing. But anyway, so thank you.
Representative Larson.
First for a second, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, anyone else? Any other members? Representative Swartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to speak to the details. I think the chairman of committee number 2 handled that. I'm going to go to a slightly higher level As much as I have been given a nickname that implies I am happy making cuts throughout the government, it has pained me to see many of the cuts to a number of the departments where I believe short-term savings turn into potential long-term losses. And hypothetically, that is true with this program. I would argue there are other programs we have cut where that relationship is even clearer. This program is very popular, and it touches people's hearts. But if we're going to say this is the one that we're going to reinstate the money for, I would argue we've got millions of other dollars of higher value programs that we would then need to consider putting that back into the budget. So I am sad to say I'm on and against this amendment.
Anyone else? First time. Any members? Moving on to second time before the sponsor. Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, I thought the analogy that the good minority leader had is really good. If you've got an airplane that doesn't have enough people in the seats, they cancel some of those flights, and they run enough flights until they've got the right number of seats to fill the plane. And that's really what we're trying to do here as well, as we're trying to make efficient use of those funds that we have available for education, not only for these kids in this program, but for all the K-12 kids as well. We are trying to be very judicious about the cuts we make. Everybody's going to have to make them. We feel that there's some efficiencies here that need to be made and can be accomplished. We're not trying to do away with the program. We think that we're still getting kids in there that are at risk, and we're making sure that they get their education. And we're just, here we are. So I just encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Anyone else? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the good comments that have come to us and about different programs that are worthy programs. Those programs are not the questions in front of us right now. This is the worthy program under question. And this is one that, even with the statements that have been made before, I think demonstrate the fact that they are efficient. And not only that, when it comes to our kids, the Wyoming kids, those efficiencies have increased year over year. And so I just want to leave you with those thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other member of their second time to the sponsor, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate the discussion and debate. And, you know, with the numbers, I don't know if it's 8,500 a kid or 14,000 a kid, but I know it's less than the ADM. And these are, I guess, kids, I remind you, that for whatever reason they couldn't make the public school system work. And so they have a choice. They can maybe go to an alternative school in that district if there is one, or they can be a dropout. And I guess I've always kind of read the Constitution and felt that we put aside a certain amount of money per kid, and if this kid is willing to make a positive change and try to make something in their life work, even as a 16 or 17-year-old, then this body should do all we can to support those kids. And maybe we have a couple of overflow, and maybe we don't have every class full. But I do know in some cases, 2 months to 5 months, if we go to two classes, can make all the difference in some of these kids' life. Because once they drop out of school, if you can get them into a program they know they're going to go into in the next 6 weeks, they can usually hold it together. If it's going to be 5.5 months, they can't always hold it together that long until something else bad happens in their life. So I think the math works. I hope it does. I'm not sure what happened in committee number two, but I do think it's a good program that this body 4 years ago said, hey, it's right for us to try to go to four classes and make these federal funding formulas work and try to get all the kids help we can. So I'd ask for us to continue. Even with a little bit less funding, this still cuts them $100,000, which is $400,000 in the grand scheme of the match, depending on classes. But I think it's a good amendment. Would ask your favorable consideration.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 4 has passed. This increases an appropriation. A roll call vote, according to House Rule 12-4B, is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner. Excused. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
No.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan. No. Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt. No. Jennings.
Aye.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Brown. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 32 aye, 26 no, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 4, having received the majority, the affirmative vote of the majority of the members present, third reading amendment number 4 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 5. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I found the extra $100,000. Well, almost. I move amendment number, third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 and urge your favorable consideration. We managed to restore $400,000 to the Academy, the Challenge Academy, and we're short another $100,000 to make it whole. And I found $87,000 to put into this program. And I would urge us to remember a couple other statistics. Our high school graduation rate in Wyoming is 79%. In the Challenge Academy, it is 95%. This is something that can't be discounted. So a little bit more money to get maybe 10 more kids, or I guess how we're doing the math now, 5 to 10 more kids in this program a year. And these are kids that are going to stay in Wyoming. They're going to get a high school degree and maybe even learn a trade and be inspired to stay on the straight and narrow. Now, where I found this money comes on page 74 of your bill. This is the Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics. There's been debates in this body and in our nation's capital on the use of contract employees, contracting services. So I took a little bit of money out of the 900 series, $87,000 and change, took it out of the 900 contract series of special services. If this, I left them a little money, and we thought that if exigent circumstances revealed themselves, the executive that used to be downstairs can always be 11 some funds over to this commission. So I urge your aye vote.
Any other members for the first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will strongly urge you to resist this particular amendment. Obviously, the will of the body is to support this program, and although I spoke against it, I accept that. But to add this additional monies, I take strong issue, because it comes from a commission. If you go to your Constitution, Article 5, Section 6, this is a mandated commission whose job is to serve the people of the state to ensure that the, can I say judiciary, the system that renders judgments in criminal cases conducts themselves in an honest and ethical fashion. There is an unknown number of cases. These cases are generally brought by citizens of the state to this commission to investigate, to determine whether these people who make rulings are conducting themselves well. In some, as recently as 2012, three of these cases had to be prosecuted in the state of Wyoming. They do not have attorneys on their staff. They hire contract labor. Some of them actually would probably go to the county up in the northeast corner of the state, perhaps. And it would be a welcome thing to have happen, because if there are ethics considerations, they need to be dealt with. This is not where we should be looking to find funding for programs. This is a very important commission. As I said, it's constitutionally mandated. On and against the amendment.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we go after some of these funds to move around, because that's kind of what we have to do, is rob Peter to pay Paul, as we try and move some of these amendments through, because we know that there's no low-hanging fruit, there's not even high-hanging fruit at this point in the game. So we go around and we try and steal out of the baskets of others. And what this will do, if we move this money over to this education component, it reduces the budget that they've already gone, the budget reduction they've gone through, it'll reduce this budget by 24%. So the contract services are for legal advice that this commission would need in defending the cases that are brought before them. you know, I appreciate the ability we have to look and try to pull money from one place and put it another for areas that we think are important, but I think to dismantle it by 24% is a little excessive, and I'd really encourage you to fight against this amendment.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, just like to point out that this still leaves $270,000 for one employee. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I don't care who goes into whose basket. Those are policy decisions we make. My real question on the amendment is the prior amendment that we just passed, okay, we made a policy decision that was a good program, and everybody that supported that, they got up and spoke and said, hey, we went back to that agency, and they told us that they can make cuts and that they can run that program, four cohorts, on the additional $400,000. So you could do it. So they made the cuts. They did what everybody else did. They said they looked at it. Hey, we can skin this down, and we can accomplish this on less money. So why would we give them more money now? I'm against the amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment. This amendment is something that it adds not quite the 100,000, but 87,000, of course, brings us close to that $500,000 mark. And that was a very lean program before. They can get by with 400,000, but this will actually help them quite a lot. And when you look at this, where we're pulling the money from, where the money's coming from is the 900 contract series over here. In Section 103, and it still leaves, from 2007 on, they never spent more than $15,000 until just fairly recently. And so, when you look at all the cases that they've faced, most of those cases were ones where they were able to contract out for just a smaller amount. It's very important that they're able to do that. We're not trying to limit that ability, but we are saying that with this particular amount that they can still do what this commission was designed to do, and still we have the opportunity to help the military department. Thanks.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is one of those things that everyone is talking in circles around what this is really doing. And so here we have a Commission of Judicial Ethics that's sworn to uphold the rules of the bar, and they're doing their best to do that. They're a voluntary board that paid just like you and I are. You may disagree with what the actions that they took. But basically, this $87,000 are the attorney's fees to pursue the actions that were taken by the board. And this is a rebuke, a slap in their face, saying, we don't like your decision. And that's what this is. If you don't look at it for what it is and talk the truth about it, then what does that say for us? I mean, and if that's how you feel about it, then let's talk to the point and not talk around the issue and do it through subterfuge and not face the music on what we're doing. These are voluntary folks, and I don't necessarily agree with the action that was taken and that this is aimed at. But on the other hand, they were following the law. They were doing their best to do what they thought to be the appropriate thing. So I would suggest if the legislature feels this way about it, then do it directly and do it honestly and be straightforward, but not through subterfuge. And if you want to rebuke, but you got to let them do their job. They're doing the best they can. They're following the rules that are in front of them. And so what they really ought to do, we ought to help change the rules, not just take away their funding. So on and against the amendment.
Any other member for their first time? First time going to second time. Second time for the sponsor. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please note that what my fine colleague said from the Hot Springs area of the Hot Springs, there is $15,000 left in here, which is what has been historically spent. This is not anything that will leave them without funds, but just what they've used in the past. I urge your aye vote on the amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 5 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 6. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, this amendment in front of you, simply stays within the Department of Agriculture. And when you look at how this is designed, what it actually does is goes over to page 102, 105 in your bill, and deletes a previous footnote that made it where one cannot B11 money. It already listed in that area was between programs within any executive branch agency, excluding the University of Wyoming, the new languages, and the administration division of the Department of Agriculture. I want you to understand what we're trying to do here is talking about the administration division. Now, the individual that had originally brought that idea, I explained that to him, and there was an agreement. What we're trying to do here is, now this is just effective through June the 30th of 2018. In the event a position in the administration division becomes vacant, the vacant position shall be eliminated and associated budget general funds for personnel services. So what we're looking at here is in that administration division, if someone retires or there is a vacancy in the 10 positions that are found just within that executive agent department within that branch there, those salaries and benefits, they'll not just fill that back in with another person, they'll transfer those funds over to the Predator Management Division. The Predator Management Division has faced a 30-something percent cut last few months. And so when you look at this right here, this allows us to make sure that the funds are staying with the services on the ground. Now, it doesn't immediately mean someone loses their job. Matter of fact, no one may lose their job unless they unless a seat becomes vacant. In this particular case, if that happens, the remainder of the funds for that position will transfer over to the Predator Management Division so that we can help with the Animal Damage Management Board. With that, Mr. Speaker, I would stand for questions.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And sorry to do this all day, but I'd like to divide the amendment again. It would be lines 1 through 14, let's say, or Division 1, and 15 through 20, or Division 2.
Okay, please proceed.
I'd like to talk about Division 2 first, okay. Mr. Speaker, which would be 15 through 20. And actually, in complete honesty, ladies and gentlemen, this was the amendment that I brought on second reading about the flex authority and holding this agency hostage. And so I really like deleting all of this. I'm not sure, because I should have waited for the good committee number 2 to get up and tell me their thoughts and the rest. But I definitely like Division 2 and would encourage its favorable consideration. And I'll have some more conversation on Division 1.
Any more discussion on Division 2? Representative Winters?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would resist that primarily because the remainder of the amendment depends on our ability to B11 the process. That is the correct process necessary. If you, even though we're trying to keep it within the Department of Agriculture, you still need to be able to B11 the funds from the Administration Division over to the Predator Management Division. And so that's what this is doing. It's allowing us to utilize the process that would be correctly used in a situation like that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Nicholas.
On and against Division Number 2, ladies and gentlemen, what this does is, in this particular entity, we said you need to take the cuts from administration, not from programs. If you adopt Division Number 2, they get to take the cuts in their programs and not from administration. So on and against them.
Anyone else on Division 2? Representative Walter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am against this division. The committee number 2, we looked at it very carefully. This agency has about a 60% pass-through rate, and they did all of their cuts through the pass-through grants and none through the administration. So what we have done within this budget or supplemental budget is to make sure that some of those come from the administrative side. And so this kind of goes defeats that purpose, and so I would encourage you to vote no.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 2? Second time, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, I guess I'd just remind you that I'm sorry Committee Number 2 feels slighted, but they gave the authority last year in the budget for each agency and the executive branch to make the cuts they felt were best. So this agency did that. And in this agency's case, it said, you know, the best place we can cut are pass-through grants because these go to counties for predator management, and counties have their own mill levies to fund weed and pest. And so, yeah, you can cut this a little bit more because everybody's affected. But then, you know, the committee didn't quite like what that division and what that department said. So they said, oh, we're going to structure the entire budget so you're the one singled out agency in the 306 flex section that can't do this. So I just thought that was maybe a little over the top and punitive. If we're going to have the executive branch make the cuts they feel are best, then we should do that and shouldn't argue with them, and that's their prerogative.
And second time for the sponsor, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I really appreciate what was just said, and even the speaker before that was talking about the fact that most of the cuts have been made to the pass-through grants rather than in the administrative agency. And actually, this amendment right here accomplishes exactly what they're aiming to do. It just makes sure that if there is shrinkage in that administrative agency, they're going to make sure that those funds then flow over to the place that they made the cuts through the pass-through. And so that's all this is attempting to do. Those predator ADMB groups out there, They have been damaged quite a bit through some of what has happened recently. What we're trying to do is, if possible, restore some of those funds where we can. And by the way, I have to say it's a tremendous amount of fun running full tilt into the machine gun of all you guys. But I do appreciate the work you guys do.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 6, division number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Division number 2 has failed. We are now on. All those in favor of division number 2, please stand. The acoustics in this room, I'm telling you, they play tricks on you. I'm experiencing up here firsthand, along with my good colleague from Hot Springs County. It does. It's a hard room to judge. It's not like our chamber in the Capitol. So we want to make sure we get it right. All those opposed, please stand. Stretch your legs. More than 7. Division number 2 has failed. I would say, though, members, and I think we all experience it, and for folks who are listening on the mic, the acoustics in here, if you're in this corner, you swear it passed, and if you're over here, and so it really is different. When you're in the chamber in the Capitol, you really have a sense of it. You can almost feel it. But so we want to make sure we get it right, and if we have to stretch our legs a time or two, that'll be fine. Now we're on division number 1. The sponsor is Representative Winters, but Representative Zwanitzer made the division, so Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And so now, well, let's talk about this section, how it's going to work in the real world. You have 10 people in this division, right? And so the last thing you're going to want is for any one of the 10 of them to move, leave their job, retire, anything. So we're kind of just helping the agency do whatever they can to make these 10 people super, super happy, because the last thing the agency is going to do is let them go. So maybe some pay raises, maybe an extra vacation day. I'm just telling you, if you keep this in, you're going to keep these 10 people as happy as possible for the next 15 months. And it seems a little weird to do that.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, I've been standing here trying to figure out how to rebut that, because I'm not sure exactly where it was going. But all I can say is that, you know, if one of these positions leave, rather than fill them immediately, and these are administrative staff, rather than fill that position immediately, we need to shift those funds then toward the services that are on the ground. The other day, someone was telling me about a story that came out of a state to our west, and they hired a guy because they had a sewage system that kept getting plugged up by a kind of mussel, and so they hired a guy to clean those mussels out every day, and then they had to hire a guy to make sure he was doing it right. Then they hired a guy to make sure that the agency was spending the money right to keep the guy working and so on. Well, eventually the agency got so expensive they fired the guy that was pulling the mussels out. And that's exactly what's happened. What these agencies are here to do are actually provide the services to help with predator control, to help all those things that you feel in your county. And that whole idea of cutting then the pass-through dollars to these groups who are doing the work and keep the folks back here in the agency still have them hired has the same kind of analogy, and I think that's just the wrong direction for us to go. So that's why I'm on in for Division 2. One. That's why I'm on in for Division 1. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a quick question. So it says here, in the event a position in the administration division becomes vacant, the vacant position shall be eliminated. So what happens if that position is the director? Just a thought. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. Thank you.
Other members for the first time, Division One, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would echo the words that the good representative that eats my fireballs just talked about, and it really doesn't give any direction depending on which position is lost. How would you replace it? Well, you can't replace it. And then I would also remind the body that Committee Number 2 added back in to Predator Management $306,000. And so we're going to add an additional amount in regardless of who is lost in the administration. I think that without some direction and guidelines there, that becomes very random and very problematic. I would encourage you to vote this amendment down.
Anyone else for the first time on Division One? First time, moving to second time. Anybody would like to speak a second time on Division One? Seeing none. No, seeing one. On Division One, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This right here, what we're doing is cutting from the personnel services, the 100 series salaries and benefits. And so when you talk about the vacant position, I think that's just a real pretty little black helicopter flying over there, this right here, I think, is fairly clear. It's just trying to make sure that if one of those positions goes away, the funds are just going to be used to go to the ADMB. And I appreciate the fact that $306,000 was added in, but when you consider what the original cut was, That doesn't quite get us where we need to be on the ground. Thanks.
We're voting on Division Number 1 to Amendment 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division Number 1 has failed. We are now on Third Reading Amendment Number 7, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to withdraw Third Reading Amendment Number 7 at this time.
Third reading, Amendment Number 7 has been withdrawn. We are on Amendment Number 8, Representative Clausen.
I brought this amendment simply because I didn't like where the conversation ended.
Representative, can you move the amendment, please?
I'd like to move Amendment Number 8 to House Bill 1. I simply brought this amendment because I didn't like where the conversation ended. It implied that this particular program just went to wealthy people or ag people, and it doesn't. It's kind of the interface of urban and rural, rich and poor youth, looking at ideas that are kind of outside of their normal world. If this particular thing doesn't create more commerce and economic diversity than any building, then I don't see what will.
Any other discussion? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I don't think the discussion was anything about wealthy folks or poor folks or anything in between. This is a discussion about how we can still benefit our youth. This is about a youth program and taking this money from economic development really doesn't benefit our youth in the long run. We've had a discussion here this afternoon about saving now to cost us more in the future, and I think that's exactly what this does. It shifts money now to pay for what the youth are doing today, but costs them in the long run because there isn't the economic development taking place to provide those good jobs for them in the future. This discussion was really more about how this part of this agency can do a better job of being efficient with their programming, and so I think what Committee Number 2 has done is very judicious, very appropriate, and like I said, this is just what we discussed earlier of pay now or pay later, and I think we'd end up paying significantly later for these youth. So please vote no.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment, I think it's time that we need to move back onto our own fees and generate the dollars from the people using the programs, and this is just one means of doing that. And then the other issue is, do we take it from the Wyoming, really from economic development? And I don't think we should. I think we have pared that agency back a lot. I think it's like 38%. since 1516. And in a time in a down economy, we do not want to, you know, take the throttle more off of trying to promote businesses in the state of Wyoming and do things for businesses in Wyoming. So, once again, on and against this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? For the sponsor, second time? Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 8. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 8 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 9. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a very simple amendment. All it does is remove a footnote for funding to a program that has no longer got any money associated with it. So it was the department request that we remove the footnote so there'll be no confusion on the issue. I will leave it at that and answer any questions that you might have.
Any discussion? Question being called, seeing no discussion. We are voting on third reading amendment number 9. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 9 has been adopted. This does not change the appropriation as I read that footnote that was number 2 that was removed. We are now on third reading amendment number 10. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number 10 from the list.
Third reading amendment number 10 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 11, Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully withdraw third reading amendment 11 from consideration.
Third reading amendment number 11 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 12. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. So in Wednesday's discussion, I brought forth the amendment to move money from the Board of Control into water account number 1, and you trusted me and supported that amendment, and I appreciate it. We were doing a good thing there, but in the process, we just totally debilitated the budget in the Board of Control's office in the State Engineers Department. So I'd ask that we reverse that procedure, take the money back out of Water 1, put it back in the Board of Control. I hope the discussion highlighted the importance of the water development money, and maybe that can be dealt with in some of the amendments that will come later today. So thank you. I urge your support for this amendment.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I support this amendment, and hopefully we'll fund the BLC again. And that would be a good idea to keep track of our water.
Any other member, Mr. Speaker pro tem?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this corrects something we felt was probably a major problem, and that. I think I would support this amendment.
Question being called. Voting on third reading amendment number 12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 12 has been adopted. Third reading amendment number 12 does have a change in appropriation. So a roll call vote is necessary on House Rule 12-4B. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner excused. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 12, having received the affirmative vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 12 has been adopted. Members, we're going to take a short 5-minute stand at ease until the sound of the gavel.
We're not bringing in.
Okay, members, before we resume third reading amendments, I just have one announcement on a reappointment of Joint Conference Committee Number 1 to House Bill 78. It will be Representative Eklund, Chairman, Representative Laux, and Representative Lindholm. Okay, thank you. We are now on third reading amendment number 13, and that would be Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill number 1, third reading amendment number 13, and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, if you remember the other day on second reading, we had an amendment to use an additional $1 million of tobacco funds and $1 million of federal funds for the comprehensive waiver. And I really appreciate the thought for the and the concern, but here is my concern with that and why I've brought this amendment. Normally, we can expect to get about $36 million a year in that fund as income. And we have appropriated actually slightly more than that for the biennium, we normally get $36 million for the biennium, and we have appropriated now slightly more than that, although we could probably squeak through. If the second reading amendment continues on as passed, I'm just afraid that we are going to be appropriating more than is available to us, and we will thus end up cutting other things, mostly in the substance abuse area. And they're all valuable programs. But so what this amendment does is deletes that one and cuts it by half. In other words, half, $500,000 in federal funds, $500,000 in tobacco, rather than the million and the million. And I feel that that is just more sustainable in the long run. You know, I briefly considered, amending it to say it's one-time funds. But, you know, you want consistency in a program and their revenue source. So I decided that I really feel that this is just a safer way to go to stay so that we are not over-appropriating from that revenue source. Thank you. And I move, ask your aye vote.
Any further discussion on third reading amendment number 13? Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against this amendment. I won't go over the details of what we talked about on Wednesday, but I will remind you of a few things about that discussion. This is about a budget amendment for providers of waiver services for people with developmental disabilities. We must remember that the current model of funding does not meet the cost of providing services. There have been 3 cost studies done since 2007. None of these have been fully funded. None of them have been funded by the legislature. The initial study in 2007 was funded at about 90%. The 2012 study results were recommended in the governor's budget, but cut by the JAC. Most recent study was 2015 and was rejected by the Labor Committee. It is anticipated that the results won't be available for a potential appropriation until the 2019 general session. Providers are in a financial crisis. Of the 11 larger providers who provide about 55% of the services to waiver recipients across the state, all but one ended last fiscal year in a deficit position. They are seeing a larger deficit in the current year. Just to survive, providers are selling assets, dipping into reserves, laying off staff members, and even more disturbing, they are discharging higher cost participants to make ends meet. I would recall all of you to look at the interim supports and comprehensive waiver rate options sheet that I passed out the other day. It showed that the hourly wage at the hourly wage rate of $12.14, the estimated cost for this in 2018 would be $8,561,792. And the amendment that I proposed the other day added $2 million onto the $2 million provided by the Joint Appropriations Committee. That's $4 million. $4 million out of $8 million. It's still only half. And they need every penny of that money. So for that reason, I rise to oppose this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Any other members for their first time? Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Okay, I've got to get my mind around this one now. If I understand, JC did an increase of $1 million, which with the matching is $2 million, for the supplemental budget. So that's an annual number that gets biannualized to $4 million, and that will become part of that budget as a sustainable funding, if I understand this correctly. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. So with this amendment, what we're doing is then adding another $500,000 from tobacco funds and $500,000 from federal for another $1 million for a year, biannualized to $2 million. And we're doing it in a way that those are sustainable increases to this program that will carry over into the base budget for the next biennium. Is that? I just want to make sure I understand that and the body understands that. So please correct me if I say that wrong.
Any other members for the first time? Second time? Second time before the sponsor? Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like at this point to read an email that I got from our senior staff. And the email reads as follows. There is sufficient funds in the Tobacco Trust income account for this biennium, 2017 to 2018. However, in the next biennium, 2019 to 2020, the total appropriation will need to be monitored closely. Technically, your $1 million will double to $2 million in 2019 to 2020, as this is a supplemental budget. Regards. And that was by a senior staff member of our body. So I think that the money is available, and the money is definitely needed. I would remind you that we're talking about $1 million that is supplemented by another $1 million from federal funds. So we get two for one. And the money does not come out of our budget in the sense of the general fund. It comes out of the Tobacco Trust Fund, which does not show up in our general fund expenditures. Therefore, I would definitely urge you to oppose this amendment, which reduces that amount from $1 million to $500,000 and $1 million to $2 million, and then that would be definitely felt by those people who are dependent on this program. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number 13. I'm sorry. I am to the sponsor, actually. For the second time, actually, Chairman Greer.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I did receive verification of the funding as I laid that out to be correct. And then to go to the last speaker's point is, while that $1 million that was in his previous amendment is available right now, the issue becomes long-term sustainability with that. When that starts to carry over into the next budget, there's a risk of that not being the funding there, and more than likely not. So I think I'm in favor of this amendment. First of all, I agree. The need is there. I don't disagree about the need. But I want to make sure that we do this going forward so that it is sustainable, so that we don't have to come back and make cuts to this program, because we have been adding to it. This do add to it in a sustainable fashion. So I am in favor of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Before the sponsor, okay, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With such great support, even from the opponent of my amendment, I don't know if I even have to speak, but as the email was read stated, we are right for this for this year, but we don't want to bump it up this year and then have it plummet the next year. Sustainability would be better, and when it was stated that we would have to monitor it, that's what we're doing right now, is making that amendment so that it is sustainable. If you notice again on page 13 of your summary sheet, we have added money back in. This would add some, but enough that we are not cutting it abruptly in the following biennium. So please vote for the amendment.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 13 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has passed. This is a reduction in funds. A roll call will be required. So we will, a roll call is required. According to House Rule 12-4B.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
No. Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
No. Bovey.
No.
No. Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Air.
No.
No. Flitner. Excused. Freeman.
No.
No. Furphy.
No.
No. Guru.
No.
No. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
Aye. Haley.
No.
No. Hallinan.
No.
No. Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
No.
No. Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
No. Kenner.
No.
No. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Dan.
Nope.
No. Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
Yes.
Aye. Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye. Aye.
McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
No.
No. Nicholas. Aye.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
No.
No. Pipirinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
No.
No. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
No.
No. Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Aye. Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Crank. Aye. No to aye. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 20 aye, 39 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive an affirmative vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 13 has failed. Failed. My apologies. We are now on third reading amendment number 34. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 34, ask for a favorable consideration. And ladies and gentlemen, just so we get to the heart of this issue, immediately I'm going to divide the amendment, division one being lines 10 through, move the amendment 34 to House Bill 1, divide the amendment between line 10 and 11, with division one being the lower part of the page, division two being the upper part of the page.
Chairman, I just want to repeat that.
10 to 17, I'm sorry. 11 to 17 being the first division, 10 and above being the second division.
Lines 1 through 10 are division number 2, and lines 11 through 17 are division number 1. So do you want to start with division number 1?
Yeah, at your pleasure, Mr. Speaker.
Is it your amendment, Chairman?
Number 1, please, Mr. Speaker.
So we're on division number 1, Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we had a lot of discussion about prevention organization, prevention dollars, how they flow, et cetera. Members of the body, I'm confident that the dollars are getting to the community, but there seems to be concern about this. So you will see this amendment just inserts into the current footnote that that these dollars, 90% of the total dollars that would go toward prevention services, go to community level, so into your communities, to the folks on the ground. I heard the word boots on the ground. It goes to those things related to alcohol, tobacco, other drugs, and suicide. And so I would just ask for your favorable consideration of this division number one.
Any further discussion? Question being called on division one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division number one has been adopted. We're on division two. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So division two is more money. We just had a discussion about source of funding and et cetera. As you recall, there was $2 million taken out of that, and all the money that was taken out by our committee number two was general fund. Just about all of the dollars that remain for these services is out of the same fund that I'm asking for a little bit more out of. So I'm trying to return $500,000 for the last half of this biennium. Obviously, that biennializes, so it's $1 million. That is halfway to what was taken out. But the key for this biennium is, and we heard the discussion on the last one was, well, we don't want to overcommit ourselves for the next biennium. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what our number two committee does every time they go through the budget process. We did it the last time. We pulled back on tobacco funds because the funds weren't available. So what I'm trying to prevent with this $500,000 is as steep a cliff. But let's recall, we had $10 million. $5 million were committed to the first part of the biennium, the year we're in right now. $2 million were taken out by the work of our appropriations committee. And so now we're at $3 million for the second part of the biennium. What I'm trying to do is add $500 back in. So we're still going to be $1.5 million below what's being currently available for these services. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the simplicity of the amendment. It's getting some money toward this first biennium. If there's a way not to biennialize it, our good committee will take care of that, I'm sure. And I'd ask your favorable consideration of number two. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, on this amendment, had we not passed the last, had we not defeated the last amendment, I'd have less angst with this one. But there are so many dollars in the tobacco settlement fund. We pretty well depleted those when we supported the last amendment. We knew that when that amendment passed the other day, that was going to pretty well. We're okay for this biennium with what I'm understanding from the revenue that's in there. But going into the next year, the revenues are extremely tight for what we had appropriated, including what was in the bill for the DD provider, the new amendment. We come back, we tried to reduce that in half to give us a little buffer. This body just elected about 5 minutes ago not to do that, to use all of those funds right up to the maximum moving forward. And now we're going to add another $500,000 of that in there, which will biennialize, equates to $500,000 a year. I think you've about milked that cow dry, and maybe you ought to start looking for another. So I'd encourage you to defeat this part of the division on this amendment.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this amendment. Friends, if you remember 2 days ago, I brought you forth the amendment that restored all of the money at $2.1 million. I thought that was important to do. I thought that the services that were provided were absolutely crucial for the state. The good bringer of the amendment, and I have been talking about this over the past couple of days, and to be honest with you, he didn't show me the final version because he knew it probably would have broken my heart and soul to see that it's down to $500,000. But I understand a compromise when I see it, and that's what's before us, that $500,000 out of tobacco trust fund money. I also did see the outline of how that TT money is being used and know that over $2 million exists in that fund, you know, even with the amendment that we just passed. And so, again, this is a crucial program, and I encourage you to vote aye on this compromise.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, for those folks that weren't here 2 years ago, we over-depleted this fund significantly. So between 2015 and 16, we appropriated $46 million out of the tobacco fund in order to make it solvent, because we were taking the corpus down. In order to make it solvent, we had to take from handicap services, state mental health officer, we took out of rural health almost $2 million that we had to take out of the tobacco fund. That we did with the chief executive through his request to this house and to both bodies, because we had to, because the fund was being depleted. So, all total, after 2016, we took out and reduced it $7.5 million in order so this fund would be solvent. With our actions today, we are going to make this where we're going to deplete the corpus and take away from this fund. So it may be a good program, but we have to come up with other sources to do this. But otherwise, we're going to be in the exact same boat sitting here in the budget session next year saying, folks, we've appropriated this fund and we're depleting it, and find another source, or we're going to have to cut these particular benefits. And I mean, and it's simple math, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that the fund, what we're using it for is a good or bad thing. The question is, do we hold this fund inviolate so that we continue to fund health issues with tobacco funds, or do we start depleting the corpus? And if you want to deplete the corpus, then vote for this. If you don't want to deplete the corpus, find another funding source.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to speak against my party's floor leader, and that is an option that I just don't, but I can't hold back this time. There is the appearance that there's money in this account. She referenced $2 million. There was a one-time distribution of a little over $2 million that just came in. We can spend that, and that's all fine and well, but that we're not going to get that same distribution moving forward. So I think this is a great program. I would like to give it another $500,000, but right now I don't think we have the liberty to take more money out of the tobacco funds.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time before the sponsor. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the appearance is there is money there. And what we're talking about is that if we don't actually appropriate this income funds, it flows back into the corpus, and then it is actually out of reach. So these are dollars that are there. They're dollars that are there within the current biennium for the second half of the biennium. And the good work that was talked about by the leader of our appropriation is true. That was done 2 years ago. I'm confident they'll do it again. We evaluate, we look at where the revenue sources are, et cetera. We go and we deal with these shortfalls if there are some. The point that this amendment brings is that based on what we're doing right now, these prevention services are going to be funded at 60% in the next fiscal year as they are right now. 60%. 5 million currently, 3.5 in the next with this amendment. I mean, without the amendment, 60%. With the amendment, we're going to be at 70%. So this program is going to take a 30% cut without the amendment, but a 40% cut without the amendment, a 30% cut with the amendment. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would ask you for your favorable consideration of the second division of this amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on division number 2 of amendment number 34. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. Might save us a little time with a roll call if this is successful or not successful. So, those opposed, please stand. We had 23 in favor and 34 stood opposed. No roll call is needed as there is not an increase or decrease in the appropriation. We are now on third reading amendment number 14, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With that, I would like to move Amendment number 14 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this is, members, is a clarification of what the discussion was on Wednesday. There was some concern that programs would be cut out in the communities, that the boots dollars going to boots on the ground, as we keep calling it, would be cut. And this is just to clarify that this is on the administrative side. This is that layer of bureaucracy that I've been talking about, that I talked about on Wednesday. Just to ensure that's where the cut comes from, and it's just a clarification to try and put some of your minds at ease to know that the activities boots on the ground will continue to happen. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just remind the body that we just adopted the Division 1 of the previous amendment, which set something in place, 90%, that the funds will be in our community, not less than 90%, so it could be 98% or 100%. So I think that this one probably is unnecessary because no matter what we think, it does take some money to operate a program, and having some level of statewide coordination is of value. And so I just think this one's unnecessary. The one previous to it, I think, got a lot of the money to the community, and that would be your vote against this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I too am on and against this amendment. It seems to me this is unduly restricting the department from actually doing its work. This department does enormous amount of pass-through money and via what's called the 600 series, and this tells the department that it can't do that as it does with so many of its other programs. The previous portion of the amendment that we passed already limits that administrative cost that this is supposedly to take care of. So on and against this.
Any other member for the first time? Second time before the sponsor. First time, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, stand on and against this amendment. I think if you adopt this amendment, then you really kind of void out the last amendment, which talks about that 90% going to those boots-on-the-ground services. So you do need some kind of coordination. Won't belabor it, but please vote no on this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time before the sponsor, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And once again, I just bring this today to put your mind at ease. This was the question of the day on Wednesday when we were discussing this activity. Are we making sure that the dollars will still get out to the folks? Yes, we are. This just reinforces that. This is to make sure that we are making these reductions in the administrative side of things and not in your communities. And so I really bring this to answer your questions, and so I would appreciate your support and your vote. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 14. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 14 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 15.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Salazar.
Privilege of the floor, sir.
Please proceed.
Normally I would not interfere with the business that we have, but
for an 8-year-old who will remember it for the rest of his life. May I introduce my wife, Shannon, and my 8-year-old, Josh, who just arrived from Du Bois, Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Members, we're going to just pause for 1 second. We are now on third reading amendment number 15. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment 3015 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is really an amendment. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the background here because we spent a good amount of time yesterday on this measure. This was an amendment you considered yesterday to restore $405,990 back to the Department of Health to cover principally two programs that that this body seemed to lean towards as something that we favor at the county level, and that was our Healthy Baby Home Visitation Program and our maternal child health program. So these are the services, just as a quick reminder, that provide first-time pregnant women under the age of 20 who are eligible for Medicaid and or WIC, first-time births to women regardless of age and eligible for Medicaid and WIC, preterm births, victims of domestic violence, and the list goes on and on. So what my amendment does is it specifically, it's been reduced by about $40,000 a year or $80,000 a biennium. So we've taken out what I saw as $80,000 in the original amendment that was problematic to many of you and concerned many of you on certain county programs. And so that's been removed, and I hope that now we can move forward with the $335,000 that will principally be used to fund those county programs in your vicinity. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And body, I understand. I think we all do, and we all sit here on second reading and went through the painful dissection of these various departments and agencies. And when we got to the Department of Health, I went home. I went back to the apartment or the motel and told my better half. I was astonished at the almost flip of the cut population of this body into the not this, and now we're trying to add money that we've been instructed to cut. Back in. And we do have to remember that of those general funds, I mean, we have to get them someplace. And I know, that Representative Larson doesn't like babies and the elderly and the disabled and the those with other disabilities because of the Thank you, Chairman from Agriculture, for agreeing with me. I appreciate that immensely. But at the end of the day, folks, We do. We've got these issues looking at us with education. We've got a whole host of stuff in this department as well as the other departments. We're having to shrink some of these agencies' budget, and this is one that the body elected to do, and I would hope that you would stick with the decisions we made the other day, because we will have to find those general fund. It's $335,000 of general fund, which comes out of the LISRA. At the end of the day, that's where it's coming from. And and then the next program down the line is going to get is going to have to take a whack there someplace. So I'd really encourage you, as wonderful as these programs are, to resist this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as to the good speaker who spoke last, I'm pretty sure he does like disabled people, because I think he likes me. But I think. But on and against this amendment, what he said was very true. We're trying to add. And we're using, it's kind of misleading. We say on there increased general funds. Where are those general funds coming from? We don't have a steady source of revenue coming in, so where is it coming from? It's coming from the LSRA, the Rainy Day Fund. Any amount of money that we put back in, every appropriation that we put back into this thing, comes from the Rainy Day Fund. You're spending without a revenue source. And I would urge the body, as much as I think this is a good program, and as much as I've heard a lot of things that I would like to vote aye for, but I'm just not going to do it. Because at the end of the day, it comes from the LSRA. And we're just drawing that thing down, down, down. And again, I'm not opposed to spending out of the LSRA, because obviously we have. But we got to be careful how much. We have to be disciplined and restrain ourselves and make those hard cuts that our JAC has made. So on and against this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, when we're looking at where we need to cut in government, you know, we've made a lot of really hard cuts, and we've stuck by a lot of those really hard cuts, and I commend the body for doing that. And this is one of those cuts where folks from throughout the counties have come forward and said, whoa, it might be time to back up. This is a pretty important one. This is the one that helps the young mothers out there, the ones that need the help the most. So when you're looking at the one that you got to go home and explain to folks that you put some money aside, this is a pretty easy one to do. This is for kids. This is for mothers. This is important. Vote aye.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, on and against this amendment, we still face a structural deficit in our budget. And as hard as it is to make these cuts, that's what we have to do. We have to buckle down and do the work. And the one thing that I'd say on, once again, I made this same argument on second reading. This was ranked 46th out of 63rd by this department in its program priority list. We talk about, well, we should just eliminate programs and not just pare them back. That's what we did. This piece of this agency, this division, didn't have any federal funds tied to it. So it wasn't like we were destroying a matching program. So once again, you know, if not here, where? And so on and against the amendment.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment. I was obviously a supporter of yesterday's version of that. There were some serious concerns raised by some members about where some of that money was being spent, specifically for birth control programs. And I believe this is a reasonable compromise. It removes some of that money, but it preserves the core mission, which is to provide home health care nursing services to some of the people that are out in the most rural areas of the state. I think this is an essential program, and it's one of those programs where if you cut now, you're going to pay a heck of a lot more in the future. So on and in favor of this amendment.
Representative Beichmann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, to me, this is about consistency. We spent a lot of time debating, and those of us that were standing up for babies that are still in the womb, I think it's to be consistent, we need to look after them, especially those young mothers that went through and made the choice to have that baby. This is important for them. And to me, it's all about consistency, and please vote for this. Thank you.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I had problems yesterday. Those have been alleviated, and I am in favor of the amendment. This, as the good representative just mentioned, this is about mothers and children at risk. I think everyone here actually knows what it does, so I ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just real quick here, the reason this was ranked so low on the priority list for the department when this came through is because these are pass-through funds. These go through the county. It's not going to be a big priority to them because they're not holding on to these funds. So keep that in mind when they say that this was ranked really low. Yeah, it was ranked really low, but that's because it doesn't affect them like some of the other programs do. This one affects the counties, every single county that every single one of you live in. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, the previous speaker was correct. When you look at the impact this has at the county level, especially with the groups that are on the margin at the county level, this is a very, very important fund, and it's $335,000, but it's $335,000 spent in a very critical area. And so you're right. I know that we're getting all of these people saying that it was ranked low, but it was ranked low from the perspective of this particular agency, not from the perspective of the people back home or from your county. Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage you to vote no on this amendment. I would remind you that this program, there's still over $7 million per biennium for maternal programs within the department, and so there's plenty of money out there. We're talking about adding $335,000 back to something that has $7 million available to it. I recognize it goes out into communities and counties and everything, but the department still sends this money out into communities and counties, and so I really don't see this as necessary. This, as we've discussed, a low-ranking program, and so I would encourage you to vote no.
Representative Paxson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm a little confused here. I'm on and against the amendment. It seems to me that a lot of the same folks that were totally against replenishing or making sure we have a safety net to not deplete our LISRA are the same folks that are now asking us to accelerate the depletion of the LISRA on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My concern is how is this distributed? Because you take this out over the number of counties in the state, it's $14,000 if it's done equally between the counties. $1,000, little over $1,000 a month with the $7 million that's already being funded through there. I don't understand why this is that critical. And I also, I want to speak to the fact that when these programs are ranked and we're looking at cuts, this is the best way to do it. Find those programs that are low ranking, that have been determined by the people that are administering them or overseeing them, and identifying those as programs to where we cut back on government. Whether it's a grant to the county or an employee in an agency, it's still government. And so, these are tough decisions for everybody to make. So I'm in favor or in opposition to this amendment.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Regretfully, on and against the amendment. You know, folks, a lot of us tried to make big cuts last session during the budget session, and now these cuts are coming, and they might be affecting areas that we are near and dear to us, but we all have to give a little here. And I just had to say that because it's not easy for any of us. Thank you.
Any other member for their first time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. I'd like to address a couple of the points that have been brought up. One of them that several people have said is that this was low-ranked by the department. And having served on the committee where we asked agencies to rank their priorities, what we heard from this agency, as well as others, is, hang on, all of what we do is important, and how do we go about and rank from one down? And what they did, what they often did, is they looked at what was constitutionally or statutorily required. And in this agency, overwhelmingly, they had constitutional or statutory obligations to meet. That's, and all of those were at the top of the list. Those that didn't have very, very specific statutory requirements, you do the following, like we do, weren't at the top of the list. They repeatedly said many of the programs that are at the bottom of the list, it's not because we don't like them or that they're ineffective or that they're not doing the job that we wanted them to do. It's just because there wasn't a statutory obligation for them to be higher on the list. And so I am not persuaded at all by the argument that it's not highly rated by the department. The department, in fact, found incredible benefit from this program. And again, this is the program where nurses go out and visit with young mothers. And nurses, public health nurses, have been found to be incredibly effective in outcomes when it comes to infant success, safety in the home, mothers getting their kids immunizations, all of those kinds of things that we find so incredibly valuable. And the window of opportunity for doing them and doing them well is so small. And so this is a program that has enormous benefits down the road and very little wiggle in terms of time to be able to provide those services. And then finally, the argument about where are we going to get the money? And again, I want to point you to the Goldenrod. The Goldenrod has on it numerous bills that we have passed that cost money. You know, criminal justice reform, circuit judge salaries, the Department of Health facilities, the Endow Initiative. We're going to go home and say, we spent general fund money or we spent LUSRA money because those are important initiatives. I want us to be able to go home and say that we kept our visiting home nurses for young mothers as well and that we did not cut those programs as we are funding these others. So again, on and in favor of this amendment.
Any other members for their first time? Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. But we've argued 25 minutes now over $14,000 a county. And this program is going to fall apart if they don't get the $14,000. And, you know, if the program is as valuable as the proponents of this amendment say it is, they would have found the $14,000 in the last 25 minutes in each one of these counties. So I think we need to move on from this and vote the way you want. But $14,000 isn't going to make or break this program.
Anyone else for their first time? Moving on to our second time before the sponsor. Representative Salazar, did you speak for your first time on this? You did? Okay. That's what I had. Okay. Second time, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to remind the body again that the department has SuperFlex. We give that ability to them to adjust those general fund dollars to those programs that need them. They have the ability to adjust. They've got a number of programs. They've got the Women, Infant, and Children program in here and also in another department that has $24 million in. This program has another $7 million in it that they have the ability to move around. I think that there was a great point brought up here just a little bit ago, again, by the minority leader when she talked about statutory requirements. We have a statutory requirement to balance this budget. and that doesn't come easily. And when these agencies make these rankings, yes, I don't know how they ranked them, but they give us a priority list. And this is down their ways. They have the flexibility. But we don't have the flexibility not to balance this budget, and so we have to make these cuts in some difficult places. And again, I would just encourage you to vote against this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Lindholm.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And just a reminder on this aspect, we heard the 46 out of 63, it can't be that good by the department says that. Well, the department does not set policy. This body sets policy. This body decides on what's important and what's not important. And I'll argue all day that babies are important, regardless if it's $14,000 per county. Because $14,000 per county, that's a lot of gas money going out and seeing moms out that live way, way, way from town. And that's the way it's used in Crook and Weston County. Vote aye.
Any other member for their second time before the sponsor, Representative Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm going to be quick because I know that your minds should be mostly made up. But I want to correct a few, I think, misconceptions that are floating around. First, $14,000 per county, why is that a lot? It's a lot because last year, a federal program, TAN, ending in another letter, cut 58% of the funding to these exact programs. So the reason why this state sends $14,000 to the counties is because the federal government was footing the bill for the other chunk. That money's gone, folks. And that is a policy decision for this legislature to make. Where the federal government has stripped over 58% of the funding to these particular programs, is that a place where we step in? So I need you to think about that first. Second, let's look at the big picture of what's happening here. The original cut was $405,000 and some odd dollars per year. That's nearly $1 million. It's $811,980 per biennium that's cut. We're restoring only $335,000 of that per year. And when you take that into consideration as a whole, it's a 25% cut to the unit, in addition to the 8% cut already sustained from the chief executive's cut initially. So what we're trying to restore is a very, very small piece of the pie to a large chunk that's already been taken out. I know we have to prioritize those things as we go, I know we can't save every program, and believe me, I've said this before, and I think it's evidenced by the last 2 days, very few times that I've stood up to speak in favor of putting money back into the programs out of the general fund. And I think we're all conscious of that. But this is a worthy program that's suffering because of federal cuts. And we as a state have a duty to step up, step in, and support our women and our children. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 15 has passed. Now a roll call vote is required. Chief Clerk will please call the roll. The majority of the members present is required to pass this amendment.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye. Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
No.
No. Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner. Excused. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Garou.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
No.
No. Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
No.
No. Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan.
Nope.
No. Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
Aye.
Aye. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
No.
No. McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
No.
No. Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
No.
No. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pipirinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
No.
No. Salazar.
Aye.
Aye. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
No.
No. Steinmetz.
No.
No. Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
No.
No. Winters.
Aye.
Aye. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 31 aye, 28 no, 1 excused.
Having received an affirmative vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 15 has been adopted. We're now on third reading amendment number 16. Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number 16 to House Bill 1. And I was thinking about dividing it, but I won't at this time. I'm going to ask for your considerable vote on amendment number 16 in the positive way. As you know, The program that I'm requesting funds for is for the seniors, and what this program would do would assist many of the seniors, and we're talking over probably a couple thousand to help them stay out of these assisted living homes. And what this program does, and I'm talking on basically on page 40, starting at line 19, and then page 40, line 20, to under general funds, increase the amount to $400,000. And what this would do would be to move into the different counties that are feeding the seniors with Meals on Wheels. And if you look at the cost compared on savings, you know, folks that receive this program, it's a cost of it's $2,075 per individual per year. You compare that to the cost in assisted living for these folks that have to leave their home and are taken into assisted living facility, the cost there is enormous. You're looking at probably $96,000 a year. And for five people, you're already looking at over $400,000. And we know that some of these folks, if they don't get assistance at home, they'll end up in that assisted living, and that will cost the folks here in the state, regardless. And what I'm wanting to do is pull out of the funds. I'm not wanting to just ask this to come out of, just out of the air. I'm requesting that take $400,000 out of Section 85 Wyoming Business Council. And what I'm requesting to do is decrease, under general fund, decrease the amount of $400,000. And what this would do would take the money from the 100 series. And what would be left in that 100 series is $9,157,458. And you look at over $9 million, you look at the amount of people that's going to cover, and that's 47. 47 people. You can divide that up, and you can figure, and I'm obviously I know that not each of these individuals is going to receive the $194,000 a year, because the higher end of that program, these folks make a lot more money. And granted, it's a 2-year number, but that amount is pretty substantial. And what I'm asking, and like I said, I'm leaving quite a large amount of money in there. And from what I understand, there's two vacancies already in that program. I heard of two. Then somebody said there might be one that they went on ahead and hired. And I question that. If they did hire somebody, they should be on a freeze. So what I would ask is that pass the amendment in full and help these seniors. These seniors themselves are not going to come out here and ask for money. They're not. You won't see them in the lobby saying that they need help. These seniors, in my estimation, is they've already paid their dues, and they're not. They're not people that are going to beg for this. The people that want this are the people that serve them. And again, like I said, it's not a large amount of money, but I do believe it'll go a long ways. If the $400,000 would actually probably cover close to 180 people. And you look at that compared to what five or six that go into a assisted living, this program more than pays for itself. So I urge you to vote aye, and I'll take any questions this time. Thank you.
Representative Clem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would move to divide the amendment, lines 13 through 26 being Division 1 and lines 1 through 12 being Division 2.
Okay, it's divisible. Continue, Representative Clem.
Thank you. Speaking on Division 1, which is lines 13 through 26, I would ask you to vote no on this amendment. I'm not going to rehash the reasons. We've seen a lot of amendments trying to take from, in particular, the Wyoming Business Council, and would ask you to vote no. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1, which is lines 13 through 26? All in favor of
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I'm sorry, Representative Pinnell.
Initially I had thought about that division, but bear in mind this amount of money will fund that program, and so I urge you to vote no. Thank you. I urge you to vote aye, excuse me. It would fund that program, so I had a lapse here. I've been here too long today.
Okay, we are on division number 1, which are lines 13 through 26 of Amendment 16. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Division 1 has failed. We're now on division 2. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would, speaking on division number 2 now, which is lines 1 through 12, again, I might be accused now of hating babies and old people and disabled people, even though I am disabled. but I would urge you to vote no on this amendment as well. Again, it comes from the LSRA. That's what we're going to be doing, and let's just be real about that. So please vote no.
Anyone for their first time on Representative Nicholas, Chairman Nicholas.
So, Mr. Speaker, I'm in the budget book for the Department of Health, page 185, and we're going through, and this is the Department of Health, division number 5,000, which is aging. So in the 2017-18 budget, it's $62 million, actually almost $63 million. 10.5 goes to senior care. Nutritional services is 7.4 million. Title VII holders, 400,000. Senior volunteer program, 250,000. Senior volunteer service program. Let me get this right. No, Wyoming Senior Services program, 10.7 million. Wyoming Senior Services Boards, 5.6 million. Healthcare licensing and surveys, 4.6 million. Pioneer Home, 8 million. Retirement centers, 12.4 million. So, $63 million that we are giving to take care of our aged and elderly in the state of Wyoming. We do a pretty darn good job.
Representative Freeman, for your first time on Division 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't deny any of those facts, and Wyoming does do a good job with its seniors. But I go and visit our senior center in our local town on a regular basis. I'm a volunteer for the one in the other town in Sweetwater County. Recently, my mother came to live with me, and because of health issues, she couldn't migrate south. So I see what has happened to the cuts that have happened in the past. And they are significant. In the local, the senior citizen center that I am most familiar with, I've seen a reduction of personnel. I've seen combination of people. I've seen increased fundraising. These people are doing everything that they can. And with the last cuts that they had, their services to the seniors, at least in my county, was reduced. There was waiting lists, and even the small amount that the seniors themselves had to pay for home care became increased to where some people couldn't afford them. We take really good care of our seniors. I won't deny that. But with the last cuts, we've hit an edge, and I would like to see that there is a cushion to maintain the care that we have now, and I would ask you to vote aye on the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 2? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad that I can leave innocent children and get up to the seniors, of which my deskmate said I'm one of those that hang out in the hall. And so I'm speaking of my colleagues and the services that we receive, I guess. And I think that we do a wonderful job of that, and I would share with the body that when I asked the department the impact of the cuts on this, the answer was pretty obvious. Well, we could provide more services for the seniors. There was, oh my heavens, it's decimated, or be really careful because this is going to adversely affect multiple counties or multiple programs. We just didn't get that response. We can always use more money. We can always put it into the system. I just didn't get the sense back from the department that oversees this program that this type of cut would have the impact that perhaps others that have been considered may have. And so, again, I would just remind us of our duty to, none of these cuts that we've talked about in the Department of Health really were individually. I mean, we had only talked about a half million here, 350,000 there, another 400,000 over yonder. And, you know, it comes up with another 1.5 million or 1.2 million that we're going to have to pull out of the Lisher or some other place. And so just bear that in mind as you go through. A penny saved is a penny earned, and that's what we're trying to get accomplished here. So I'd, again, encourage you to vote against this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Clausen.
On and for the amendment. I think we need to take care of our seniors before we build buildings. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, and I think we have taken care of our seniors. And once again, it's painful cuts. They're all painful cuts. The cuts we've made in this budget go across the gamut. Everybody in the state of Wyoming is going to feel these cuts. And so, but that's what you have to do. When the revenue does not meet appropriations, you have to make cuts. And so this is just an increase in funding. We didn't cut this further than what the gov's recs were. This is just bringing more dollars back into the budget, and on and against.
Any other members? Representative Dayton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, we've heard a lot about what our seniors have done for us over the years, but let me just tell you one thing. Most of your senior centers have meals, lunches, Monday through Friday. This is sometimes the only good, balanced meal our seniors get. It's under a program called C1, and under those C1, they can't charge for those meals, but they can ask for donations. We've heard over the last 3-4 weeks about how many people have suffered losing jobs and stuff. Well, some of these affect the seniors too, because it's their children who have families that have helped them in the past and are unable to. On and for the amendment.
Any other members? Moving. Question being called. Representative Pownell, you want to? Second time. Go ahead, Representative Pownell.
I'll just close it up. You know, as I said, the seniors, they've paid their dues. This amount of money would put 180 some folks back on the food line and would help them considerably. So we just got to look, as just been said, where our priorities are. These folks themselves won't ask, and we know what the seniors have done for us in the past. You know, they've made this state what it is, I think that it's time to step up and return the favor to help them when they're in need. So thank you. I urge an aye vote on this. Thanks.
We're voting on division number 2, third reading amendment number 16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division number 2 has failed. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members, I think many of you have met my beautiful wife, and just like Representative Winters, I married up. And so I have my wife, Chelsea, and my 4 wonderful kids, Faith, Justice, Zane, and Miles back there. Would you all stand up, and members, can we greet them to the house?
Hey! We're going to stand at ease for just a few minutes I've got a few coins to deliver, and we're going to stand at ease and stretch your legs for just a few minutes.
I'm back.
Okay, members, we're gonna move from third reading on House Bill 1 for a few minutes to read in standing committee reports.
Senate File 34, introduced by Education, Student Personnel Digital Information Protection Act, an act relating to public education. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 34, engrossed Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperina. Signed, Representative Northrop, Chairman. Senate File 35, introduced by Education, Virtual Education, an act relating to virtual education provided by public K-12 schools. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 35, engrossed Virtual Education, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperina. Signed, Representative Northrop, Chairman. Senate File 90, introduced by Senator Hicks. Allocation of complementary hunting licenses, an act relating to game and fish. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 90, engrossed allocation of complementary hunting licenses. Respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flettner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Senate File 48, introduced by Senator Emmerich, Farm Loan Program Amendments, an act relating to farm loans. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 48, Farm Loan Program Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Clausen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Senate File 100, introduced by Senator Scott, Limited Liability Companies, an act relating to limited liability companies. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 100, engrossed limited liability companies, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux. Noes, Representatives Clausen and Crank. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Senate Joint Resolution 2, introduced by Senator Driscoll, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenue State Share, a joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation requiring revenues received by the federal government from wind and solar energy developments on land of the United States be shared equally with the state in which those developments are located. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 2, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenue State Share, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Clausen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Senate File 63, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Department of Family Services Statutory Amendments, an act relating to the Department of Family Services. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 63, engrossed Department of Family Services Statutory Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garou, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman. Senate File 67, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services.
CHIP program amendments, an act relating to the Child Health Insurance Program. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 67, engrossed CHIP program amendments, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garrew, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman. Senate File 69, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services. Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments, an act relating to insurance. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 69, Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garrew, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
Messages from the Wyoming Senate, February 10th, 2017. Message number 254. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 14, Insurance Code Amendments. Ayes, 30. Message number 255. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 45, Judicial Branch Budget Processes. Ayes, 30. Message number 256. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 65, Public Safety Communications Reorganization. Ayes, 29. Noes, 1. Message number 257. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 8, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency. Ayes, 19. Noes, 11. Message number 258. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 229, Game Animals, Hunt Consultation Services. Ayes, 3. Noes, 27. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We have re-referrals. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 35 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 35 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Members, we are going to, one more re-referral. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 151 engrossed to Committee Number 2.
Senate File 151 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Members, we're going to, we're at 10 after 5 here on a Friday afternoon, and so we're more than halfway done with our amendments. We've got there were the amendments, I think, that you see here. There are a few more, I understand, that have been requested but not approved. But we have some more tough lifting to do, and I think it'll be better if we just carry this third reading over till Monday morning, and we come here with... I think we just come with back rested and refreshed, and many of us will go home and we'll hear from the folks we represent and those kind of things, and then come back and be ready to do some more heavy lifting. So we'll complete third reading on House Bill 1 on Monday morning. That'll be our first order of business. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday, February 13th. 2017.
Committee announcements. Chairman North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Monday, February 13th upon adjournment in House 38. We will do Senate File 123, School Nutrition Pilot Project, and Senate File 134, School Finance Class Size Waivers.
Vice Chairman Laux.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, will be meeting Monday morning at 8:30 a.m. in H37. We will be discussing Senate File 57 and Gross, Motor Vehicle Franchise Exceptions, and Senate File 156 and Gross, State Government Efficiencies.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will not meet Monday at noon, but will resume its deliberations Tuesday morning at 8 a.m.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet Monday at 8 a.m. to consider Senate File 60, Engrossed Antelope Hunts, and Senate File 27, State Archives Amendments.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you. Committee number 7, Corporations, will meet Monday upon noon recess in H37 to hear the following 3 bills. Senate File 16, Special District Election, Senate File 44, Speech Pathology, and Senate File 96, Real Estate Brokers.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet Monday, February 13th, upon adjournment, H37, to hear 4 bills. Senate File 106, Obsolete Reporting Requirements. Senate File 21, Death Certificates. Senate File 699, Community and Rural Health District Clinic Grants, Sunset Date. And Senate File 111, Nurse Practice Act Revisions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So will there be a modification of the appropriations meeting at noon, because we will not discuss the Senate amendments to Senate File 1, because that will be delayed till Tuesday at noon. We will hear several re-referrals, including Senate File 35 and Senate File 151, on noon recess on Monday.
Any other announcements? Okay, members, I would remind you that we will be in recess until February 13th, and that's one day before a special day that we'll all be here, so don't forget that day. And so you have heard the majority floor leader's motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The House is adjourned until Monday, February 13th at 10 a.m.